Thanks. Good afternoon in Europe, good morning in the U.S. Welcome to our fourth quarter and fiscal year 2014 earnings conference call and webcast. Thank you very much for joining us today. I'm very pleased to introduce to you Mark Schneider, CEO of Fresenius, and Stephan Sturm, the CFO. I'd like to mention that today's call is being recorded, and I also like to draw your attention to the forward-looking statement disclosure, and you can find that in the presentation on page two. This cautionary language also applies to presentation today and the comments. After the call, a replay and the transcript will be made available on our website. Mark Schneider will now provide a general overview, and Stephan Sturm will take you through the financials. With that, I'd like to hand it over to Mark.
Thank you, Birgit, and a warm welcome to our conference call participants today. As always, we appreciate your interest in our company. We're very pleased to report a strong fourth quarter and full year 2014 in all our business segments today. In line with our predictions earlier last year, we have seen gathering momentum across the board. Birgit has pointed out the safe harbor language to you, so let's move right to page three, which summarizes our financial results for the fourth quarter and full year 2014. All fourth quarter growth rates in constant currency and in actual currency rates are above the full year growth rates. This confirms that we have had a strong end to the year. For the full year, we achieved sales of 23.231 billion, EBIT of 3.158 billion, and net income of 1.086 billion. Earnings were fully in line with our full year expectations. Sales came in slightly better than that. Page four lists our dividend proposal and summarizes the Fresenius stock total return history for the past decade. Based on our full year earnings and in line with our earnings-driven dividend policy, we will propose a dividend of 0.44 per share to our board of directors and shareholders. This is our 22nd consecutive annual dividend increase. Adjusted for the stock split, it implies a dividend increase of 6%. On the right-hand side of this chart, you see our stock's total return history for the past 10 years. As one of the lowest beta stocks in the DAX, with a current beta of about 0.4, we nonetheless achieved a total return that is more than double the DAX average. This makes our company the ultimate low-risk, high-return investment. Let's turn to page five and the fourth quarter and full year 2014 results by business segment. You see a similar picture as with our consolidated numbers. Every single fourth quarter growth rate on the page is equal to or higher than the corresponding full year 2014 growth rate. Fourth quarter earnings for all business segments were also significantly higher than the run rate implied by the full year earnings. This confirms that our profitability has been improving throughout the year. Before taking a more detailed look at Kabi, Helios, and Vamed, a brief word on Fresenius Medical Care. The company has made solid progress on its global efficiency program and its care coordination growth plans in North America. The strong U.S. dollar clearly masks some of the progress the company expects to make this year in sales and earnings. Due to the strength of the underlying operating improvements, we expect a strong year in 2016, even with the current exchange rate regime. 2015 is clearly a year where you need to separate operating progress from macroeconomic and exchange rate headwinds. Let's turn now to page six and a more detailed review of Fresenius Kabi. With the fourth quarter very much in line with our expectations, I will focus entirely on the near and midterm future. Let's turn to sales first. On the slide, you see our regional sales distribution and our organic sales growth forecast by region. North American organic sales growth is particularly hard to predict, and we leave ourselves a 6 percentage points range in our forecast. I would like to confirm that we expect a vigorous year when it comes to drug launches, with a number of launches at the top end or exceeding our traditional 6 to 10 products per year range. Please note that we expect those launches to be somewhat backloaded this year. On the other hand, we expect further easing of IV drug shortages in the U.S. At the present time, FDA's drug shortage list includes 58 products, of which 20 are currently marketed by Fresenius Kabi. This is clearly down from last year's levels, and thankfully continues to ease. In line with this development, we also expect lower sales from Kabi products imported into the U.S. market under FDA regulatory discretion. In addition to the high number of generic launches planned for 2015, we are also excited to be planning the launch of a new drug, Neostigmine, which was approved under the NDA process in January this year. The company has put substantial investment into this product, and we anticipate a positive contribution in the second half of the year. For two of our key North American products, Propofol and Meropin, where we have seen recent market entrance, we still expect to maintain majority market share in 2015. Please note that for the purposes of Kabi's 2015 guidance, we have assumed the low end of the range, i.e. minus 3% in North America. Any improvement over and above this North American growth rate will translate into improved overall Kabi sales and earnings growth. Kabi emerging market sales are expected to continue with double-digit organic growth. We have strong sales growth expectations for China in particular. In other Asia-Pacific countries outside of China, we only expect single-digit organic growth this year as we're going through organizational changes and efficiency improvements in this region. Finally, no major surprises for European organic sales growth, where our HES blood volume expander sales have stabilized. Let's turn to page 7 and the details of a 100 million euro efficiency program that Kabi has initiated. As you know, Kabi profitability has slightly come down in recent years from its roughly 20% peak in 2012 to 17% in 2014. While Kabi is still Fresenius' most profitable business segment, we told you in the past that we regard it as our responsibility to adjust the cost structure of the company to this new environment. What I call quote-unquote passive management, where you limit your actions to explaining why profitability goes down, is not exactly our style. So we identified a number of efficiency steps in production and administration, which will be put in place this year. Of the 100 million euro implementation cost, 50% is cash effective in 2015, the balance in 2016. Roughly two-thirds of the implementation measures will occur in Europe. The rest refers to Asia-Pacific, Latin America, and Africa. We will see initial savings of about 10 million euros this year, and then ramp up in a straight line to annual savings of about 40 million euros by 2018. As you can see from the total cost and the timeline of the improvements, this is a sound investment, which is in the best interest of our shareholders. Let's turn to page 8 and our new midterm expectations for Kabi. Since our last midterm guidance in 2012, a lot has changed. At the time, we were at the peak of drug shortages in North America. We have also changed the mix of our business. The purchase of Fenwal created the market leader in transfusion products and led to a much larger revenue share of lower margin medical devices for Kabi. Finally, the label restrictions on our blood volume expander HES, and the China price cuts in 2013 impacted our profitability. The efficiency program we just talked about is one of several steps to address the situation and bolster competitiveness and profitability. Based on the new environment and the efficiency program I just talked about, we expect midterm organic sales growth in the range of 5 to 8% and midterm constant currency EBIT growth in the range of 6 to 10%. Please bear in mind that these are midterm compounded growth expectations, so individual years could be below or above. For our 2015 and midterm expectations, we have switched from EBIT margin to EBIT growth as the new key performance indicator. This reflects a number of Kabi growth opportunities we see around the globe that will contribute to absolute Kabi EBIT. They will provide meaningful capital returns to us, but they could potentially be slightly dilutive to our EBIT margin. We believe that the switch from EBIT margin to EBIT growth is in the best interest of shareholders as it supports profitable growth for Fresenius Kabi. I would like to address, however, one potential concern right up front. We are not planning to buy EBIT growth by cranking up the number of acquisitions. Our return on invested capital for Kabi will not suffer from this change. The range of 6 to 10% EBIT growth is one that we expect to achieve without the support of major acquisitions. As and when we go through major acquisitions, the target will be adjusted. In order to bridge the guidance environment from margin to growth, we will give you our 2015 margin expectation for the last time. It confirms good progress over 2014 levels. At the bottom of the page, you see some of the key growth drivers that are supporting our midterm assumptions. It is important to note that while the period of significant outperformance during the peak of the U.S. drug shortages appears to be over, all major growth drivers for Kabi are fully intact. Let's turn to Fresenius Helios and a status update on our integration of the acquired Rhön hospitals. I am pleased to say that we're fully on track time-wise and are likely to achieve the desired savings with lower one-time costs. We spent about 50 million euros on integration costs in 2014 and achieved about 40% of our 85 million euros annual synergy target in the first year already. We expect to spend another 10 million euros this year on integration costs and should achieve the remaining 60% of our 85 million euros annual synergy target by spring 2016. The build-up towards this number is expected to happen in a straight line during the course of this year and early next year. Integration runs as smoothly and on plan as it only gets, and we have seen no major negative surprises so far. We would also like to fully confirm our midterm EBIT margin target of 12 to 15%, in fact, the upper half of that range, for the acquired Rhön hospitals. This is in line with Helios's hospital development plan. All acquired Rhön facilities were put into year 4 of this plan, which you can see on page 35 in the appendix of this presentation. With the acquisition completed and the integration halfway done, this is a good time to look at the new market situation in Germany. The acute care hospital market now has a size of 87 billion euros. Our market share is about 6%, making us the largest hospital operator. On the right side of the chart, you see our geographic coverage and some of our key operating metrics. We see continued growth prospects in the German hospital market. According to a recent study, 42% of German hospitals in 2013 were loss-making. About 12% were just about at break-even. About 40% of the hospitals expect their financial situation to worsen in 2015. Only about 20% expect an improvement of their financial situation. We believe that this situation, combined with our proven business model for improving quality and profitability, will lead to continued privatization opportunities in future years, in addition to our organic growth initiatives. Let's turn to page 11 and Vamed. Vamed fully delivered on its EBIT guidance for the year, but saw flat organic growth resulting from project delays in Russia and the Ukraine. In light of the macroeconomic turbulence, geographic diversification, and a larger share of revenues from services are clearly helpful. In 2014, the revenue share of services increased by 3 percentage points to 46%. This change also bolstered our Vamed EBIT margin, since services have a higher profitability than projects. As you can see from the graphs on the right-hand side of the chart, Vamed has been a sustained double-digit grower during the past decade. While the top line is very sensitive to project delays due to political and macroeconomic problems, we remain very confident of maintaining our 5 to 10% EBIT growth range for 2015. Before handing it over to Stefan, let me also fully confirm our group midterm outlook for the year 2017. This outlook was published last year and foresees sales in the range of 30 billion euros and net income of 1.4 to 1.5 billion euros for 2017. Please remember that this outlook was given without a currency qualifier. At current foreign exchange rates, we will exceed this outlook quite meaningfully. Meeting the target implies a three-year CAGR in sales of 9% and a CAGR net income of 9 to 11% based on 2014 financial results. This concludes my remarks. Let me hand it over to Stefan for a more detailed look at the financials and our guidance for the year 2015. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark, and good afternoon, good morning, warm welcome to everyone. You just heard it, a strong fourth quarter, concluding, given the circumstances, a very solid 2014, and being a basis for a very robust 2015. You know that 2014, we were suffering from a few unfavorable year-over-year comparisons. But you will have seen that for 2015, we expect to be back in the area of around 10% earnings growth. That is where we used to be, and I believe that is also where we ought to be. So let's go straight to the group P&L on slide 14. Sales came in slightly above 6.5 billion euros in the fourth quarter to reach 23.2 billion for the full year. Q4 reported growth of 23% is up another 5 points sequentially. And constant currency growth of 20% in the fourth quarter got us to 16% for the full year. That is the top end of our guidance range. Good organic growth at 6% in the fourth quarter, a repeat from Q3. Stable at FMC, a nice year-end pickup at Kabi, a normalization at Helios and Vamed. Acquired growth, again, 14 points in the fourth quarter, primarily coming from Helios and FMC. And the expected swing on the currency side, after 3 quarters of headwind, now an initial positive contribution with plus 3 points. And that mitigated the full year effect to minus 2%, which incidentally was no longer US dollar driven, but came primarily from the ruble and from some Latin American currencies. On to EBIT, and that reached 935 million euros in the fourth quarter, up 7% year on year at constant currency. Ex FMC, we were even at 14% growth, taking the full year to 10% versus the group at 4%. Net interest was 171 million euros in Q4, taking the full year to 602 million. So we saw the expected pickup from Q3, driven by FMC's incremental acquisition debt. And the reason why we ended up above $600 million is U.S. dollar strength. Looking forward, our Q4 expense is actually a pretty good proxy for a 2015 quarterly run rate. It requires a few adjustments, which, however, largely offset each other. So, in particular, the current exchange rate increases that run rate. Our various efforts to reduce interest on existing debt decreases it. The bonds we issued in 2009 will come to maturity in July, thank God, and I'm assuming that we'll be able to refinance them at less than half the original yield. On that basis, and applying the current exchange rates, I'd be looking for 2015 interest expense in a range from $680 to $700 million. The bulk of the expected year-over-year increase is currency-related. The group tax rate reached 25.7% in Q4, so well below Q3. And this is related to a one-time effect at FMC. I'm sure Mike will elaborate on that later. As a consequence, for the full year, we're at 28.4%, slightly below my earlier guidance. For 2015, I'd like to guide you towards around 30%, a normalization ex any one-time effect, and U.S. dollar strength being a key driver behind that year-over-year increase. Finally, net income, before integration costs and disposal gains, that was €318 million in Q4, up 5% at constant currency, just as in Q3. Another strong quarter that contributed to the 4% constant currency growth for the full year, so that is in the upper half of our guidance range. And looking at reported growth, the impact from currency remained at minus 1%. A few minor one-timers in interest expense, in corporate EBIT, and in taxes, as just mentioned, pretty much offset each other. So I believe we have a fairly clear picture on net income here. With that, let's move over to Kabi on slide 15. And there you see the EBIT development over the different quarters. The bars illustrate the strong absolute increases quarter over quarter. The bubbles at the bottom show the progress in year-over-year growth at constant currency. You see the very meaningful progress, which on the one hand, as I alluded to as part of our Q3 call, is driven by underlying progress. But on the other hand, also, and you see that in the bubbles, by a weakening of the comps, given the increasing anniversary of the various effects that we were suffering from over the course of 2013, notably the price cuts in China, but also anything surrounding our Hays product. So we were increasingly in a position to compare apples with apples, and therefore also in a position to conclude the year on a very strong setting. However, if you compare what we're showing here with the guidance that I will comment on in a few minutes, you will see that we have further progress marked for us in 2015. Over the page on Kabi's EBIT on page 16. You will recognize the $239 million of absolute EBIT from the previous page, also the margin of 17.2%, and the rounded down 0% constant currency growth. That is, as I just mentioned, a meaningful improvement over the prior quarters. With the 17.2% margin in the fourth quarter, we were able to take the full year to 17%, and that is very much bang in line with the guidance that we had given to you. On to the regions, where we had in the individual regions a small number of one-timers that slightly distorted the picture. Let's start with Europe at the top of the slide, where I had alluded to an upswing in the fourth quarter that we expected. However, it came about more pronounced than I had thought at the time. There was a fairly meaningful contract manufacturing revenue and EBIT that fell into the fourth quarter, and therefore the 20.9% that we're showing here, that is a bit ahead of where I actually thought we'd be. We saw the expected margin dilution in North America. That is actually absolutely in line with the projections that we had. And the 33.4% in the fourth quarter, that took the full year to 36.4%. What I'd like to point out is that historically, we've had some extra expense in the fourth quarter, so a somewhat weakish fourth quarter margin-wise is not a new phenomenon. And therefore, I am not particularly worried about that as a lead indicator for 2015. On the other side, relative to the outperformance in Europe, we have the emerging markets with a margin of 14.4% in the fourth quarter. That is below our earlier expectations. Also here, we have a few one-timers that are pretty much related to an isolated quality issue that we had and where we had to go through some scrapping. Also here, no lead indicator for 2015. Finally, in corporate and R&D, we had €76 million of expense. Also there, slightly ahead of my earlier expectation. The full year is at €268 million, and there for 2015, I would expect at least a slight improvement to, say, €250 to €260 million. Over to Helios on slide 17, where sales reached €1.36 billion in the fourth quarter. Again, a strong quarter with very healthy organic growth and further progress along the Rhön integration. Organic patient growth, fairly strong at 3.5%, but also pretty much in line with what we were seeing in Q3. Organic sales as a whole, therefore, grew at the top of our guidance range with 5% in the fourth quarter and took the full year to 4%. That is then at the midpoint of our guidance range. Total EBIT at the bottom of the page came in at €156 million. Again, good progress from the €147 in the third quarter. Also margin-wise, we saw further pickup, 70 basis points sequentially to reach 11.5% in the fourth quarter. The year-on-year decrease that you see, that is driven by the first-time consolidation of the Rhön hospitals. Looking at the established portfolio, we are seeing sequential margin progress of 20 basis points, and also looking at the contribution from the newly acquired hospitals, we saw sequential progress from €44 million in Q3 to €48 million in Q4. I think that's quite an achievement. And so therefore, fully backing up what Mark just said, we remain very, very pleased with the way the Rhön integration goes. A brief comment on the Helios clinic development plan that you see in the backup. And what you see is overall a fairly high number of out but also underperformers. What I'd like to point out to you is that even those who haven't met the margin requirement yet, have made year-over-year progress. And therefore, all in all, I take the still underperformers more as a profit potential than as a signal that there is a long-term underachievement of that plan. Also, do bear in mind that we changed the metric not too long ago. You wanted us to make it more ambitious, and therefore it shouldn't come as a surprise that we have a number of underperformers here. Again, as I just said, we believe that over time, the vast majority of these hospitals will be able to live up to the expectations in that plan. Secondly, just to reiterate what Mark said, and as previously announced, we chose to slot the Rhön hospitals into the year 4 and 8% margin cluster. We felt that that was appropriate given the starting point, margin-wise, how we took them over. Let's move on to cash flow on the next slide. And starting with the group at the bottom of the page, was another very strong quarter with operating cash flow at 890 million euros. You know our typical target of turning in a double-digit cash flow margin. Q4 represented a margin of 13.7%. So in my mind, a very, very strong performance. And that also took the last 12-month average to 11.1%. Also ahead of our typical target. I think that that is quite an achievement, in particular given the one-time burden at Fresenius Medical Care in the starting quarter. In Q4, strong contributions pretty much across the board. Kabi's 209 million euros represent a margin of just above 15%, and Helios delivered 154 million at a margin of 11.3%. Again, our typical target is a margin of, say, 10 to 11%, and that is where I believe we also should come out in 2015. CapEx of 5.7% for the full year, influenced by a strong fourth quarter, but that is not atypical. Let me comment on Helios, where we are a bit below the norm in 2014. The year was characterized by a wait-and-see policy with regards to the CapEx plans at the newly acquired Rhön hospitals. We went through them in much detail, vetted most of them, and therefore you should expect a bit of a pickup in the CapEx intensity at Helios in the next year. In 2015. That should not be taken as an indicator that the medium to long-term CapEx intensity at the Helios Rhön hospitals is higher than the norm. Bottom right, to conclude this slide, free cash flow has so often in the mid-single digits on a growing revenue base. I think that also it bodes very well for 2015. Over the page, net debt EBITDA, where we concluded the year using identical exchange rates to calculate net debt and EBITDA at 3.26, so bang in line with the guidance that we had given to you. We do expect further progress over the course of this year, and my expectation would be that we will continue to work on both the numerator, net debt, applying free cash flow, also the denominator, EBITDA, where we do expect meaningful growth. Let's conclude with an update on our guidance on slides 20 and 21, and looking at the business segments first on page 20. And for Fresenius Kabi's organic sales growth, the guidance range will be 3 to 5%. This range is the combination of our assumptions for Kabi's individual regions. Mark pointed those out to you. Currently, a minus 3% for North America, given our expectation that shortages will continue to ease. 3 to 5% for Europe, and double-digit growth in the emerging markets. The largest variability comes from North America, and there, primarily, we would also expect to cover the shortfall to Kabi's new medium-term target, of 5 to 8% organic growth that Mark just alluded to. All you need is a bit of U.S. growth once we're through the current normalization, and maybe a bit of a pickup in Asia outside China, and then you're bang in the middle of that target range. Now, why is the 5 to 8% below the 7 to 10 we quoted at Kabi's Capital Markets Day in 2012? I think there are two good reasons. One, Kabi is strengthening its medical devices business with a slight dilution of the blended growth rate in line with our announcement at the time of the Fenwall acquisition. And two, simple law of gravity. By the end of this year, Kabi will be about 40% larger than at the time. The same absolute increases translate into gradually decreasing percentage growth rates. That's the price you pay for incremental stability. EBIT growth should outpace sales growth this year with 4 to 6%, just as well as in the medium term. Not necessarily in each and every year, but structurally, assuming stable currencies and a stable business mix. Mark told you why we're having a preference for EBIT growth rather than margin as a key performance metric. Let me just add that I see limited relevance in the blended margin of a diversified business. Plus, we want to make sure that no one, in pursuit of a stated margin target, passes on an opportunity for value creation. That would be a shame. For the avoidance of doubt, we continue to believe in profitable growth, profitable organic growth. Evidence is our EBIT growth guidance of 4 to 6% at constant currency this year. It implies a margin expansion from the 17% we were showing in 2014. So, as indicated, we view the 17% as a fairly solid floor. Projected EBIT growth includes an initial 10 million euro contribution from Kabi's efficiency improvement program. But on the other hand, we will miss some EBIT from U.S. product sales under regulatory discretion and 11 months of EBIT from our divested German compounding business. The guidance does not assume a contribution from unannounced acquisitions. So like for like, we're seeing an even more pronounced improvement than stated here. Over and above that, we're looking at a meaningful foreign exchange effect, given that U.S. dollar strength lends incremental weight to Kabi's North American business with its well above average margin. So for this year, we're looking for a margin in a range between 17.5 and 18.5%. Again, driven by both structural progress as well as a currency tailwind. And so given all these factors and the caution we applied when guiding for our North American business, I believe this is a very solid outlook for a very solid business. Currency shapes up to play a meaningful role this year. Strength of the U.S. dollar and the Chinese yuan in particular will likely give a translation boost to our projected constant currency reported numbers. We've run simulations on the basis of last Friday's exchange rates. If those prevailed until year end, the bottom end of our sales growth guidance, i.e. the 3% organic growth, that would result in absolute sales of approximately 5.6 billion euros, so around 9% reported growth, including the divestiture of the compounding business. And for EBIT, again, at the bottom end of the range, we'd be looking for approximately 1.02 billion, around 17% reported growth. So currency is clearly a factor to watch this year, and we'll provide you with updates as to the likely translation effects as part of our quarterly earnings calls. Now for Helios, we saw decent organic sales growth in 2014, helped by healthy organic patient growth post a weakish first quarter in this respect. We got those issues fixed, and that bodes well for 2015. On the reimbursement front, the DRG inflator has been set at just above 2.5%, so slightly below 2014, plus there are some wrinkles in the fine print, so not all of this will eventually accrue to us, but in a historical comparison, reimbursement remains on an attractive level. Mark mentioned the good progress we're making on integrating the acquired Rhön hospitals. Also, that gives us confidence for this year. All in all, the 3-5% guidance range for organic sales growth, that served us well in the past. We never missed it, very rarely exceeded it. We reached 4% last year. Market conditions remain favorable, so there's no reason to guide anything but 3-5%. And that, for the avoidance of doubt, applies to the entire portfolio, so also to the Rhön hospitals that we recently acquired. Reported sales growth will be 3-4 points higher, so in a range between 6-9%. That is the anticipated net effect of intra-year first-time consolidations and antitrust-mandated divestitures last year. It's first and foremost HSK in Wiesbaden, which was only consolidated from the 1st of July. For Helios's EBIT, we are projecting a range from 630 to 650 million. That's a massive mid-teens growth rate year over year. The increase results from both improvements in Helios's legacy portfolio and further synergy benefits on our way towards the 85 million euros interim target. Mark mentioned that about 40% of that potential has already been reached last year. We expect the balance to accrue to us until the first half of 2016. So we're fully on track. Remember that closing of the acquisition was delayed by 1-2 quarters. And we'll accomplish the originally projected synergy benefits with a lower investment in the form of integration costs. Coming from the initial estimate of 80 million, we had already indicated a range of 60 to 80 last fall. By now, we believe that we'll only get to the lower end of that range. And given that we spent approximately 50 million last year, the bulk of that activity is already behind us. Now, for Vamed, given the actual performance last year, notably the strong order intake and further broadening of Vamed's portfolio into stable service and management contracts, we're generally optimistic. The one slight caveat, Mark mentioned it, is geopolitical risk, and that may cause project delays in individual affected countries. Specifically, I'm referring to the Ukraine and Russia, maybe also Libya. Our crystal ball isn't any clearer than yours, so there is some uncertainty. But Vamed has also been very effective in regional diversification, so I believe in the meantime, there is no individual market where a larger number of project delays would inflict undue pain on Vamed as a whole. We're still asking you for your understanding that we've opted for a wider than usual range. We're comfortable guiding you to single-digit organic sales growth in 2015, and that guidance leaves space for a possible catch-up effect from the deferred business, but also for at least a slight toughening or intensification of the situation in 2015. On EBIT growth, we'd like to stick to our guidance of 5-10% growth also for 2015. Finally, for the group, starting with sales growth, we expect 7-10% at constant currency in 2015. For the avoidance of doubt, this range does not include meaningful unannounced acquisitions, and the organic growth element should be in the same magnitude as last year. Also here, we've run simulations using last Friday's exchange rates, and on that basis, the bottom end of our guidance would result in absolute sales of approximately 27 billion euros, so a currency effect of about 9 points, leading to at least 16%. Reported growth. Net income is expected to grow by 9-12% at constant currency. Do bear in mind that not only for Kabi's guidance, but also for the group guidance, this is using the -3% organic sales growth for Kabi North America. If we got to the upper end of our -3 to +3 range, that would, everything else being equal, get us 2 incremental points of net income growth. So we're back in the high single, if not the double digits, in terms of constant currency growth, driven by good underlying improvements in our pre-existing businesses, coupled with meaningful contributions from recent acquisitions. Our simulation shows foreign exchange translation effects, boosting this already strong growth by a further 8 points. In absolute terms, again for the bottom end of our guidance range, we're looking at approximately 1.27 billion euros, so a minimum of 17% reported earnings growth. I think that's nothing to sneeze at. So after a challenging but successful 2014, this year shapes up to be more in line with our growth track record and much more in line with our ambition level. It'll bring us a major step towards our stated medium-term objective. And as Mark mentioned, if the current foreign exchange regime prevailed, we have a very good chance to exceed those stated targets even meaningfully. Mark and I will now be happy to take your questions. Thank you for now.
Our first question is from Veronika Dubajova with Goldman Sachs. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen, and thank you for taking my questions. I have 2. One is just a broader question on M&A, and I wonder if, given some of the transactions we've seen in the broader pharmaceutical space and where multiples sit in the market today, how are you thinking about acquisition opportunities in the short and medium term? Might we see more or less deal-making from you? I appreciate it's not included in the guidance, but if you can help us understand how you're thinking about that and which areas are you focused on, that would be really helpful. And then the second question I have is just if you have any thoughts on the biosimilar space, or if your thoughts with regards to the biosimilar space have changed following the Pfizer-Hospira transaction. Thank you.
Thanks, Veronica. Glad you're bringing up the M&A question because I think we are committed to growing our business not only organically but also through M&A. But I think over the years you've also learned that we're quite disciplined in doing that. And when we can do it with small to mid-sized deals, we prefer to do that over large deals. I think the financial risk and the integration risk of small to mid-sized transactions is significantly lower, and that's something that's favorable to us. I also feel this is a pretty frothy time when it comes to healthcare M&A. And as you know, one of our business principles is when there's an elephant stampede, get out of the way. Don't compete with the elephants. So let's really stay focused on transactions that may be below the radar screen when it comes to auctions, when it comes to large bank involvement. So small to mid-size, clearly, I think for now is the focus. That doesn't rule out if something came along that's smack in the middle of our business activities, then we would also look at larger things, but it's not a focus right now. And we don't feel compelled to do a deal just because everyone else is doing one. In terms of biosimilars, our thinking has not changed. And again, all that happened is a transaction. That does not mean that biosimilars have become more or less attractive. And I think from our perspective in particular, we see much larger upfront investment per product for biosimilars. And we still see unresolved legal issues when it comes to the uptake of these products, like what forces a pharmacist or a doctor to actually pick the biosimilar as opposed to the originator product, and who's carrying the legal risk of actually making that switch. And I think as long as those issues are not resolved, in addition to all the regulatory issues that we have, I think the uptake for these products will be significantly slower compared to generics.
That's very clear. Thank you, Mark. And do you expect any competitive impact on your Kabi business from the Hospira transaction? And I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Look, we take all of our competition very seriously. We watch developments very closely. Having said that, with Kabi, we do feel very competitive in all the regions that we serve.
Our next question comes from the line of Ed Ridley-Day with Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please proceed with your question.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Firstly, just on the Kabi growth, Stefan, great clarity as always. If I could ask, just if you could sort of bridge us from the sort of growth that we're looking for this year to the sort of stronger, longer-term growth in terms of when you would hope to see the inflection. Would it be as soon as 2016? That would be my first question. And related to that, can you give us any color on the nutrition synergies you see in the U.S. this year in 15? And also, if you can give us any updated color on the size of the Fenwall business and the growth of that business.
Ed, the major variability, I think I mentioned that as part of my prepared remarks, is coming from North America. Therefore, if drug shortage normalization takes a bit longer, that will be good for organic growth at Fresenius Kabi in 2015, but may dampen growth if normalization keeps is ongoing in the next year. I'm afraid there is not much more than I can say. The variability or the impact of North America, I hope I made clear. Once we're fully through a normalization, I would expect maybe even meaningful positive organic growth, and that would then get us into that 5 to 8% corridor that we feel comfortable with in the medium term.
If this is Mark, just referring to nutritionals question in North America, I think nutritionals and pumps are the two Kabi legacy products that we have by now introduced to the North American market. Our old target remains in place, and that is that basically 2 years after their launch, we would hope to be at a run rate of 50 to 70 million euros in sales. And that would imply that sometime late 2016 we get there. So far, it's too early to start tracking meaningful actual numbers. What we will do is later this year, as soon as we see that either in nutritional or in pumps we reach a meaningful size, we'll try to give you some of those sales figures by quarter or half year or full year, just to enable you basically to track our progress. But so far, the estimate has not changed.
Ed, on Fenwall, what we have alluded to also over the course of 2014 is that we do see a bit of a weakish market in whole blood.
Yes.
But very stable and good attractive growth on the plasma side of things, which is the larger of the two. That is something that we would also anticipate for 2015 and has found its way into our internal models. As far as the original estimate for synergies are concerned, there we had pointed you to an overall number of 60 million euros.
Yes.
About half of that has been achieved in the meantime. We stand by the 60 million as synergy benefits. The balance we would expect to accomplish in the medium term.
Okay, that's very helpful, thanks. And just to follow up on my first question in terms of the overall growth, in terms of what you're seeing in the U.S. market at the moment then, are we looking at effectively normalization at the rate we're going by the end of this year?
Ed, very difficult to predict. We are at a minus 3 to plus 3 organic growth expectation, so that covers the bandwidth of what we see in terms of normalization.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Our next question comes from a line of Ian Douglas-Pennant with UBS. Please proceed with your question.
Thanks very much. On the Kabi restructuring program, what's changed to make this necessary? It seems like the headwinds that you spoke about earlier in the call in terms of profitability, we've known about those for some time now. I'm just, you know, was this part of an end-of-year review process, or is there something else changed there? And following on from that, what is the risk that this becomes a kind of a longer-term restructuring program? It just gets expanded out over time as you find more to do. And then on the second question, I guess a kind of follow-up to Ed's question, the 10 or more products that you expect Kabi to launch this year, given these are going to be back-end loaded, are you expecting this to have a material impact on the sales line in 2015, or is that growth really going to start from 2016? You know, I guess what is the chance that we start seeing sales from those new products in, or material sales from those new products in Q3 or Q4 this year? Thanks.
Yeah. Ian, let me take the Kabi restructuring one first. So this is very important to me. We don't do this quickly as part of a year-end review. This is clearly something that takes thoughtful planning. And remember, some of the changes which I cited have been happening starting from 2013. And we told you all along we're not the sort of management that sits and watches as profitability slips. The reason we haven't talked about it earlier, we wanted to avoid a situation where we can't give you granular detail on what it will cost and what the benefits are going to be. We are now in a position to do that. You know, we have precisely targeted measures that add up to this roughly $100 million amount. We're telling you basically how the benefits are going to come in. And so we believe now is the right time to talk about it. But they did take careful planning, and that planning goes back quite some time. In terms of the launches, clearly, as always, you know, from day one, you start to ramp up, but then it takes a while for the full sales and earnings benefit to come in. And so, yes, a big part of these launches will show their benefit in 2016. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
Okay, that's very clear indeed. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Tom Jones with Berenberg. Please proceed with your question.
Oh, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions. I had a couple, actually. The first one, I wondered if you could expand on your comments about lower margin opportunities within Kabi. Are you sort of talking about just same product, same business, but just in different markets where the return profile might be slightly differently, or are you talking about pushing out into some allied or new areas that we haven't previously seen Kabi get involved in? So some further color there would be great. The second question was just on free cash flow, really. I noticed your slide 26, which gives your free cash flow margin since 2005. And at the moment in 14, you're sitting right at the bottom half or bottom part of your gray bar, which I assume is your sort of target range. And that line's been trending down over the last 2 years. I just wondered, you know, how much of a focus free cash flow growth is for the business and for the company. I guess with debt being as cheap as it is, it's kind of tempting to not worry too much about it, given the, you know, the taps are fully open there. But I just wondered if it is, you know, there's some specific measures that are maybe taken in the next 1 to 2 years to try and improve the free cash flow yield a little bit for the company. They're my first two questions. I've got one follow-up one, but I'll hold that back for a sec.
Tom, let me try to get started here on the Kabi expansion plans, and let me confirm to you, we will remain disciplined with Kabi growth. So this is not branching out into uncharted territory. This is mostly about, you know, geographic opportunities inside the current business mix. Not all of this is necessarily M&A related. Some of this may be simply going after normal, ongoing, organic opportunities.
Sure.
That would come in at a lower margin, but nonetheless are accretive when it comes to total EBIT. So we'll stay focused. Don't worry about that. Stefan will address the free cash flow. Let me just tell you that whether interest rates are high or low, cash is very dear to us, and that focus will not change.
Couldn't have said it any better. Actually, given what I said about operating cash flow, where the target is 10 to 11, maybe 10 to 12%, and where CapEx, the target corridor, is, say, 4 to 6%, maybe more realistically 5 to 6%, then yes, what we're targeting is a mid-single-digit free cash flow ratio, and we're very much focused on the operating cash flow of things. We also do exercise quite some scrutiny on our CapEx projects, and those are the two levers that will typically get us into that 5 to 6, maybe even 5 to 7% corridor. Tom, what you do need to bear in mind is that we have a fairly meaningful one-timer at the outset of this year, with Fresenius Medical Care eventually, after a decade, paying the Gray settlement payment. That stands for about half a point of cash flow. And on that basis, I think I reiterate, I'm fairly happy with the result.
Okay, that's fair enough. And then one follow-up question I had, I'm chancing my arm here a bit, I know, but I wondered if you'd be prepared to sort of try and put a number on where your medium-term net income target of 1.4 to 1.5, where that would sit at current exchange rates. You know, taking your 1 cent is worth 3 million on the bottom line guidance that you have put out there, that would at least get you a sort of 70 million jump on that. And then I guess some other currencies have helped a little bit, given the euro's devalued just against just about everything. So, you know, would a 75 to 100 million euro increase on that 1.4 to 1.5 be a sensible way of thinking about it?
Yeah. Tom, at the risk of being unhelpful, let's not guide you to a different range. We've given you the sensitivities, and so it's unlikely that those sensitivities are changing between now and 2017 in a meaningful way, because our geographic mix is unlikely to change. So, yeah, you know, you can do your own math on this, but the reason I'm cautious on this is I want to be sure that, you know, this doesn't create a new guidance band or anything.
Fair enough. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Gunnar Romer with Deutsche Bank. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. The first one would be with regard to your IV generics pipeline. Just quickly, if you could remind us of the number of products you've currently pending for approval with the FDA and how you think about the wind down of the backlog in the coming years, broadly speaking. And then secondly, on the projected margin pickup for Kabi in 2015, if you could just give us a sense of what the main drivers are and whether FX plays a meaningful role when it comes to the margin here. And then lastly, on Helios, if you can update us on the network initiatives, that would be much appreciated. Thank you.
Gunnar, I can briefly talk about the margin increase. There we have the underlying improvements that I was referring to pretty much across the board. Do bear in mind that we had some negative one-timers, in particular in the emerging markets in the last fourth quarter. Effect that we also do see, I mentioned it, is a further normalization of the drug shortages, but still, all in all, an underlying improvement. I mentioned the 10 million as an initial contribution from the efficiency improvement program. But yes, whilst we're very happy with the underlying progress from the 17% floor, over and above that, given the contribution coming from North America with a strengthening dollar, there is also, I'd say, a not unmeaningful currency effect that helps us drive the margin. As to the number of new drugs sitting with the FDA, this at the moment is at around 50, or more than 50, I should say.
And that's, Gunnar, that's North America only. I think we're also mentioning in the presentation that when you look at it globally, because, as you know, we're rolling out the IV generics business wherever we can, we're talking more than 100 in our pipeline here. So I think the pipeline is pretty well stocked. And then when it comes to the Helios Network Initiative, everything got approved by the antitrust authorities last fall. We're basically in the middle of rolling this out. And just like with the Kabi legacy products in North America, as soon as we have meaningful actual numbers to report on, we will try to give you either a half-yearly or quarterly update on how we're ramping.
But maybe if I can get one follow-up, I guess nothing is included in this year's guidance then.
Whatever small effects it has, this is included, but again, this is not a meaningful number.
Okay, thank you very much.
Christine, we can please take on one more question.
Thank you. Our final question will come from the line of Julien Dormois with Exane Asset Management. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three. The first two will be on Cabi, and the first one relates to the guidance you have given for 2015, so where you have guided for 3 to 5% organic growth. I'm just curious, because looking at the regional growth prospects that you have provided and just applying the regional sales distribution, if you do take the lower end of your regional ranges, you end up with the 3% growth you have guided as the bottom end of your Cabi growth as a whole. But if you take the upper end of the regional growth rate, so let's assume 3% in the US, 5% in Europe, and 10% in emerging markets, then you end up with something like 6%. So I was just wondering why you have not taken the upper end of that regional growth prospect. Then in the midterm for Cabi, I just have one question on the US, because here again, by providing your midterm guidance for Cabi, it seems to imply that the US could rebound toward, let's say, at least the high single digits at some point. So do you believe this is a reasonable assumption, and how much is it driven by the new products? And the last question is just a housekeeping one in terms of how the organic growth will trend in 2015. We had a market acceleration every quarter in 2014. Should we have the same pattern in 2015?
Julian, let me try to take the first one. And let's just say that when we articulated that guidance, it was not just a mathematical summary of the regions. We were trying to give you our view on where exactly we would come out, and hence the 3 to 5%. Remember, not every point on every guidance range on every region is equal probability. And so basically this is our view where we're headed. And then Stefan.
And Julia, over and above that, I would say life's experience tells me that the worst points, that is absolutely possible that those coincide, but that everything ends up at the top end of the range simultaneously, that happens absolutely rarely. And also against that backdrop, do bear in mind that we have used a bit of caution at the top end of that range. Or can you remind me of your second question, please?
It's just about the midterm guidance that you have given for Cabi and how you see North America growth within that. I mean, could we expect a rebound in the high single digits or even above that in order to reach the 5 to 8% growth for Cabi as a whole?
The sensitivity, Julia, I provided when I was talking about that. What we have seen in the past is pre-drug shortages growth in the high single digits. You don't even need that to get to the higher end of our medium-term expectations. On the other hand, in any individual years, we probably also wouldn't want to rule that out. The growth in Asia-Pacific outside China, that is a bit lower for the reasons that Mark mentioned. Also there, I would expect a bit of a pickup in the outer years, and that would give further support to us moving within that range that we've given.
Okay.
Thank you, Beth. Thanks for joining the call today. We very much appreciate your time and your questions, and goodbye.
Thank you, and talk to you next quarter.
Thanks.